Making talk radio great again. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Merry Christmas to everyone out there. You are in the middle of InfoWars Christmas Spectacular Extravaganza, defending traditional culture and values. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. We've got all kinds of breaking news. But first, with the breaking news coming out of Syria and the development of ISIS proxy wars inside Syria, we already knew the players. We already knew the game. Here's John Bowne breaking it down.
Not looking good. It's not looking good. It's quite sad to see that. So my people were very upset about it. I can't imagine there's anything on them, frankly, because as we said, there's no collusion. There's no collusion whatsoever. But a lot of lawyers thought that was pretty sad.
What does the Fourth Amendment mean to Special Counsel Robert Mueller's bogus deep state investigation of the Commander-in-Chief? Well, as you would expect, nothing. In a letter obtained by Fox News and sent to House and Senate committees on Saturday, the transition team's attorney alleges unlawful conduct by the career staff at the General Services Administration in handing over transition documents to the special counsel's office. Corey Langhofer, the counsel to Trump for America, argues the GSA did not own or control the records in question, and the release of documents could be a violation of the Fourth Amendment, which protects against unreasonable searches and seizures. The emails are said to be of a sensitive nature regarding Trump's interior conversations about nominees, not to mention executive policy. However, once it was added to the spin cycle of the mainstream media, Special Counsel Mueller came out smelling as fresh as a daisy.
But this has been a months-long orchestrated, frankly pathetic and also dangerous attack by Fox News, by many in the conservative right, to try to discredit Mueller.
They're setting up the ground game to fire Mueller. And let me tell you, the majority of American people will not allow this. MoveOn has had more than 80,000 people sign up for a protest if in case Mueller is indeed fired. Over 500 events in across the country. People are not going to take.
Except the Harvard Harris poll released recently said 54% of Americans of all parties see the investigators as biased against Trump.
Okay,
so you may see it on your end, but polling shows different.
That's one poll. There are one many thing. Polls out That's there.
This is a total distraction. Let me just say, this whole discussion is so interesting to me because it's all part of the Trump legal team assault on the integrity of law enforcement in this country, intended to distract people from the potential, the investigation into ties between the Trump campaign and its officials interference. And this is all a setup potentially to fire Bob Mueller.
When Trump's lawyers come out and use the press to say Mueller's acting unlawfully, that creates a narrative for right-wing media to put on the bottom of the screen, to put in banner headlines on the website, to add more fodder to this narrative that the Mueller probe is illegitimate and needs to be shut down.
I believe that the president wants all of this shut down. He wants to shut down these investigations, and he wants to fire Special Counsel Mueller. The rumor on the Hill when I left yesterday was that the president was going to make a significant speech at the end of next week, and on December 22nd, when we are out of D.C., he was going to fire Robert Mueller.
Oddly enough, as the world turns, regardless of the beating of the dead horse of Russia collusion with the White House, Putin thanked Trump for intel Russia received from the CIA thwarting a terror attack. John Bowne reporting for Infowars.com.
It is quite amazing the twist of reality that they try to pull on you, where they'll say on CNN,
"We've got protest groups ready in case Trump fires Mueller."
And then you've got the rat, Eric Holder, calls for protest if Trump fires Mueller. But what do you think would happen if they removed Trump from office? Yeah, you think you got a protest, huh? See what happens if you take Trump out of office, and then you'll see a protest.
is the War Room.
This is the War Room. I am your host, Owen Troyer, and we are live, as we are, every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Central. And Roger Stone will be joining us, as usual, today in the second hour, as well as Tyler Nixon in studio. Andrew Torba joins me in the first hour. Of course, he is the creator of Gab. And then Bev Harris is going to join me in the third hour, and you know Bev from blackboxvoting.org. She has broken down fractional magic and how they rig votes and elections with the electronic voting machines. But before we get to all of that, and believe me, there is big news in all of that, I find it funny that the left right now, and I even hate to play the whole left-right paradigm because that's kind of buying into the entire globalist, agenda, if you will, because that's what they want. They want us divided to be conquered, so they want the left and right. But it just you just have to call it as you see it. Eric Holder, the rat, who is the only attorney general to ever be held in contempt of court by Congress, and he's probably got something, some skeletons in his closet that are about to be exposed. So he's freaking out. You've got all these people on CNN, MSNBC, the politicians, the Democrats, and Eric Holder calling for protests if Trump fires Mueller. And this whole thing is it's quite conflated because they all buy this. It's like this weird thing where, okay, yes, the team is totally biased. They've been caught as how biased they are. It's an open shut case. They hate Trump. This is not a unbiased, non-biased investigation. This is totally a witch hunt. They've been caught red-handed. You have Jeff Sessions, who recused himself because he didn't want to be a part of this investigation and then be told that he was biased. You see how that works? Isn't that strange? Jeff Sessions recuses himself as so the special counsel is not looked at as biased, but then everyone on the special counsel hates Trump. And we're supposed to sit here and say it's not bias when it clearly is? Okay, so the absolute brainwashed minions of the left that I'm going to talk about more today completely buy it. And so then Eric Rat Holder says, we want protest if they fire Mueller. And he's not the only one calling for that. And again, so this is why I find that funny, folks. So what is going to happen? I mean, let's really think about this. Let's really think about this before Eric Holder's dirty rats actually decide to protest. Let's actually think about what would happen. So Trump fires Mueller. Eric Holder, Obama, Maxine Waters, and the rest of the rats, George Soros-funded groups, they're going to do exactly what they've been doing since Trump was elected. Protesting, burning things, rioting, looting, causing chaos, destruction. In fact, you've got the story today where some Antifa website back in April says that they wanted to sabotage the train tracks in Olympia, Washington to stop fracking equipment. And then today they conveniently take that down. You wonder if there's any connection between the train wreck and Antifa violence. But so, okay, so Eric Holder, the rat, and the rest of the rats in the Democrat Party, funded by George Soros and the Antifas out there, what are they going to do if Trump fires Mueller? They're going to do the same thing they've been doing. So no change there. But this is what you really have to think about, folks. And it's actually been hitting, it's actually tough to face this, but it's been hitting home to me more. So you go ahead and you virtue signal your little communist, terrorist, soy boy twigs into marching and trying to riot and do all that stuff. That's perfectly fine. That's what you've been doing. And because we're so tolerant, we've somehow allowed you to do this. And we've somehow allowed police to just watch idly as these left-wing terrorists terrorize conservatives and Trump supporters in the streets. You know, but you can only push us so far. And let me tell you something. If you think that you're going to have some sort of a protest if Trump fires Mueller, which I don't even think is going to happen, to be honest with you. I think Mueller will either step down on his own accord or the entire thing is going to be shut down by the House Judiciary Committee. But whatever, they'll protest no matter what happens. They're going to protest as long as Trump president. It doesn't matter if Eric Holder tells them or George Soros told them or Barney told them the morning that they woke up to watch Barney this morning. But if you don't understand the difference between your little protests and what you think is some sort of a revolution or movement to remove Trump from office, do you understand what would happen if you removed Trump from office? Do you understand what would happen if you used your dirty campaign techniques, illegal voting, rigging elections with electronic machines, and everything, every dirty tactic in the book you can do to try to take our president out and impeach him? That's not going to be a protest, bro. That's going to be civil, you know what, war. And your little sticks and your little bats and your little masks and your little capes and your little helmets aren't going to do anything for you then. So you better think twice before you listen to a dirty, stinking, hawing, seething rat like Eric Holder before you go to the streets in the name of protest. Because let me tell you something. When the other side decides to protest back, you're going to be hiding in your mother's basement with more than just a mask on. So just think about that. Before you follow Eric the Rat Holder into a civil war, just think about what you're getting yourselves into. And you know what? I could go off on this whole thing, but I'm going to take this in a different direction, actually. Because Alex made a great point yesterday on the Alex Jones Show where he's talking about how they've put this anti-American, anti-Trump message into all the media. And it's not as subtle as it used to be, and it's not as parsed out as it used to be. It's full-fledged, it's everywhere, it's in your face. It's decapitate Trump. I just saw the new Kingsman movie this weekend. They have a scene at the end of the movie where they impeach the president, who's obviously supposed to be Trump, and then guess who replaces the Trump president? A female president supposed to be Hillary Clinton. So it's, and I actually like the Kingsman movies, but the point is they've literally pushed the propaganda, the anti-Trump, removing Trump, we're victorious against the anti-American Russian Trump. They've pushed it so heavily that the average individual out there that isn't politically involved, isn't politically researching and doing any sort of critical analysis, just can't help but get sucked in to the propaganda, whether they realize it or not. And I've always felt like in the big scheme of things that we were winning that war for the average individual that wasn't politically inclined, wasn't politically researching, that we would win that battle because all they do is look at what the left is doing and realize that they don't want to be domestic terrorists. But then I saw that movie this weekend, and then I saw this story. LeBron James sends message with black and white shoes, speaks about Trump. And I realized something. I don't know if LeBron James really has a clue what he's talking about. I don't know if LeBron James is told these talking points by Hillary Clinton or the Democrats. I'm sure that LeBron James has legitimate issues with society. I'm not saying LeBron James is a bad person, but LeBron, bro. See, I'm to the point now where I'm done being mad at athletes like Colin Kaepernick and these people. Colin Kaepernick is about to try to put a proposal together to buy a football team with P. Diddy. Wow, dude, must be so hard for you as a black man adopted by white parents trying to buy an NFL franchise with another black man. But please, LeBron, you guys need to stop dividing this country, okay? Period. Okay? That's all I'm saying. Quit saying Trump is the bad guy. You guys are going to cause a civil war if you don't pull back on your anti-American propaganda.
I read the stories about Steph Curry telling off President Trump, LeBron James calling President Trump a bum, it really hurts me, because I used to be somebody that was just completely politically ignorant and probably would have just taken whatever LeBron or Steph Curry said as fact. And that's what millions of sports fans who have never read or done any research or analyzed anything ever politically are now doing, thanks to these athletes that have no idea what they're talking about. And again, for those that don't know my past, I worked in sports media for I can't even count how many years before I came to InfoWars. I dealt with these athletes. I dealt with these people in media. They are just average people. They're honestly good people. I dealt with the Rams when the Rams did the hands up, don't shoot thing. Okay. They really weren't bad people. They just have no idea what they're talking about. And so, you know, I don't want to get on here and just, you know, lambast LeBron James. You know, it's like, LeBron, you're great at basketball. How many political books have you read or written? You know, I mean, you're going to call Trump a bum? I mean, give me a break, dude. You play with a ball for a living, man. You know, I mean, it's just a joke. You know, Colin Kaepernick complains about being oppressed. He's about to try to buy a football team, an NFL football team, with another black man as his partner. Oh my gosh, Colin, it must be so hard for you, bro. You got adopted by white parents. You had a $20 million contract in the NFL that you walked away from. You quit. And then you got awards for perseverance. And then you're going to try to buy an NFL franchise. Boy, it is so hard to be Colin Kaepernick. Now, Colin Kaepernick hangs out with the likes of Linda Sarsour, so I'm not sure how innocent he is in all of this. But I'm just telling you, because trust me, folks, I deal with the same thing. I see these athletes. They're really good at playing sports and playing with balls. Good for them, and they make millions of dollars of doing it. Great for them. There's nothing wrong with that. But when they try to inject their ignorant politics into society that then foments a civil war, that's where I draw the line. And it's hard for me to not sit up here and scream about this, but I know that they really are ignorant. They really have no idea what they're talking about. So I'm going to give LeBron James a break on this one, but dude, you calling Trump a bum really shows how ignorant you are. You never even went to college, LeBron, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. Just remember that you play with a ball for a living, okay? You dribble a ball. Donald Trump has made billions of dollars having to think and manipulate and work and should try to manage finances and funds and building and real estate contracts, okay? And he sleeps for 4 hours a day, travels around the country, travels around the world, trying to bring people jobs back and make the economy great again. Oh, and then what do I have in the news today? Since Trump is such a bum, I mean, look at how much of a bum Donald Trump is. Economic optimism soars, boosting Trump's approval rating. What a bum. Donald Trump has returned all the optimism to the economy, the housing market confidence, everything is soaring. What a bum Trump is. How about the bum on the stock market? Dow raises 5,000 points in a year for the first time ever. So every stock market index has reached a high. You've now had a record number of closings in 1 year. And the Dow rises 5,000 points in a year for the first time ever. What a bum Trump is, right, LeBron? Isn't Trump such a bum? Boy, LeBron, how much GDP growth did your boy Obama have? Never had a 3% GDP growth quarter. Well, Trump is now nearing 4% GDP growth. What a bum. How about that? Trump doubles. I guarantee you, by the end of Trump's either 4 years or 8 years, Trump will have a quarter of GDP growth that doubles the highest under Barack Obama. I guarantee you that. And in fact, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's done it already. I would not be surprised if this story is actually the proof that Donald Trump has already doubled Barack Obama's highest quarter of GDP growth. So there's your bum, LeBron. There's the bum president who's doing everything he can to save this country that the actual Obama, he has bum in his name, did to try to destroy it. So, again, all of these athletes, and I know a lot of them listen to InfoWars, folks. Trust me, I can't tell you how many times I walked up on a player listening to Alex Jones or an announcer listening to InfoWars. I'm telling you, they know us. So before you go out there and ignorantly spout your politics, which you have every right to do, just think about the consequences. Because a bunch of ignoramuses take what you say seriously. And so when you say something about issues you have no idea about, no clue about, couldn't even write an essay on, you are now making the millions of people that follow you ignorant. And then what happens when rubber meets the road and their actual ideas have to be met with backing it up? Oh, you want to impeach Trump, do you? You sure about that? You sure about that? Might want to think twice. I'm going to try to just put that behind me, and I'm going to reset. I'm going to restart the gadgets, refresh here. It's just the sports stuff really just hits close to home for me, folks, because I used to be on that plantation. I used to be the ignorant sports fan. I know how it all works, and it just I just wish that that industry was not being used against us right now, and it really just sucks to have to see that happen. So when we get back, Andrew Torba from Gab is going to be joining me. Folks, in the meantime, don't forget that this is part of our 34-hour Christmas spectacular extravaganza that you are watching right now. Part of that includes huge specials at InfoWarsStore.com. I've got like a book of specials here. It's really quite ridiculous. 50% off. Listen to all these 50% off specials. Everything I'm about to tell you is 50% off. You can't even believe it. Super Male Vitality, Brain Force Plus, Alpha Power, one of our newest products, Cell Force, another one of our newest products, Survival Shield X2, a life-changing, groundbreaking product, Vitamin Mineral Fusion, The Real Red Pill, another new product, Super Blue Fluoride Free Toothpaste. That is a must-have. If you're not using Super Blue Fluoride Free Toothpaste by now, I don't know what you're waiting for. Now's the time at 50% off. Secret 12 Vitamin B12. Everything I just said is 50% off, plus all InfoWars Life Select storable food products. It's all at InfoWarsStore.com. 50% off specials now. Be sure to get to InfoWarsStore.com before these specials end. We'll be right back with Andrew Torba.
This is the return of the Republic. And this is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at InfoWars.com/show.
Well. The left is just, they just love free speech. I mean, Twitter is just all about free speech. Here's a few stories that just got handed to me. The headline from thedailybeast.com today. Twitter bans some white supremacist who flee to safe space. Oh, that's right. See, that's how they do it. It's just a white supremacist, so it's okay to just erase them. It's okay to dehumanize them. See, that's what they've done now. They've brought back white supremacists. That's what the left has done. Actually, it's funny because it was the left that was the bitter clingers to white supremacy. Now here they are bringing white supremacy back, but blaming their enemies. Wow. Boy, I'm telling you, folks, today is this world. I mean, how much longer can this last? This is from the Huffington Post. Twitter has started its messy purge of neo-Nazi and alt-right accounts. There's their other buzzword. So you see, they dehumanize their opponents by saying white supremacists, neo-Nazis, alt-rights, And that's how they dehumanize. And then they can just get away with basic illegal behavior, assault, banning free speech. So this is what we're dealing with now. You know, if you're conservative, you wear a Trump hat, you might get jumped and beaten. That's just what you get because you're not a human, right? Well, Andrew Torba created Gab as an outlet that was free speech. But what happened to Gab? Well, it looks like, in my opinion, there was some antitrust stuff going on here between YouTube and Google and Facebook and Twitter and Android and Apple. And magically, Gab is no longer available on the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. Andrew Torba joins me now. Andrew, as Twitter is purging themselves right now of anyone that's conservative, what's going on at Gab?
We're exploding in growth. It has been one of the craziest days since we launched Gab in August of 2016. And when we did so, we said, everybody's welcome here. This is about free speech. I was working and living in Silicon Valley at the time, and I had very close connections, patriots who are inside of Facebook, Twitter, and Google, who warned me that this censorship was coming. This was part of the agenda. I've known this for a very long time and have been preaching this stuff for a very long time. And it's very surreal to see it all, you know, sort of happening today in real time.
And it's really duplicitous the way that they tried to label this to make it okay. I mean, if we were really going to label this, we'd be saying, I mean, if we were painting an accurate picture, it'd be Twitter is purging conservatives. Twitter is purging Trump supporters. But what they do is they twist it. They twist it. They say white supremacists, neo-Nazis. See, that's their little buzzwords that they've been using here for a year to associate with Trump supporters. It's just totally inaccurate.
Absolutely. And it's totally inconsistent as well. So, you know, the logic behind the bans today really doesn't seem to add up. It seems very sporadic. And I think that we'll start to see more of a purge, sort of a rolling purge over the next year in preparation for the 2018 midterm elections and also the 2020 presidential elections. These Silicon Valley companies realize that they don't control the narrative anymore. The narrative is in the hands of the people. They don't control the flow of information anymore. The flow of information is in the hands of the people. And alternative networks like yours, like Gab, we are leading the way to defend the free flow of information on the internet and to keep the internet free and open for generations to come. I don't want my grandchildren to not have the internet that I grew up with and the access to information and that free flow of information that I had access to growing up and that we all did.
So what are you doing right now? Because they've tried to act like you don't exist. They've dehumanized you. They've gotten rid of you on the Apple. They've gotten rid of you on the Android. I mean, how do you compete in this rigged market?
Sure. So what we're doing is we're opening up our API and allowing other third-party developers from around the world to start building on top of the Gab platform. And this is actually originally how Twitter and Facebook and others took off at first, because they opened their ecosystem to allow developers to build on it. And that's what we're doing now. So we're going to allow other developers to start submitting their own versions of Gab apps and just flood the app stores with these until eventually one gets approved. And until that time, we're going to continue to evolve our web product and build our Exodus protocol, which is going to be censorship proof. So think of like BitTorrent or Netflix. Email is a protocol that is censorship proof. We're building a social networking communication protocol that any developer in the world can build on and that is censorship proof, completely decentralized and peer-to-peer. So that's what we're actually in the process of building right now, because I was under the assumption that we would be able to operate and build on the free market. And as you said, the free market is rigged. It's not free when you have a duopoly of these, you know, two companies controlling and owning 98% of App Store distribution.
Yeah, it's clearly not a free market when they've decided to erase you from that market. And I've actually got some crew guys. I'm not even sure what that means, but the crew is wondering. They're interested in how to sideload Gab. Are you aware with this?
Yeah. So for Android, you know, device owners, you can actually get our app directly from Gab.ai on our Android page, and you can download the latest version. As you can see right here, the screen's up. So you can download that and sideload that onto your device without actually downloading it from the Google Play Store. Unfortunately, Apple doesn't allow this, but a shortcut for that would be we tell our users to open Gab in Safari browser and to click share and then click add to home screen. And what this will do is it'll add an app-like icon to your home screen, and then you can access Gab with one click right from your device. So this is what we're forced to do because they won't let us operate in their markets.
You know, one of the things I think that's kind of tough for you to break through, and it's really tough for all of us to break through, but for you as somebody trying to grow Gab, there's a weird connection that people have to their Twitter accounts, and I'm sure Facebook too. I don't know. Twitter is the only social media I'm on, so I really only know about it there, but there's this weird like loyalty to their Twitter account, this weird connection to their Twitter account where they know all of this is going on. They know it's a rigged market. They know Jack Dorsey's views, and yet they don't want to leave that platform. They're not ready to give it up and to move to a Gab for obvious reasons. Like I said, I mean, you're rigged out of the market. They try to act like you don't exist. But I feel like it's important now for people to realize if you don't invest with the right people, if you don't invest with the good guys, just keep in mind, Twitter will erase you.
Exactly. And that would be my rebuttal there is that if you don't start, sharing content on Gab, even if it's once a day, once a week, it's not like you have to spend all day, every day on Gab. And I don't expect you to. We don't expect you to. People use multiple social networks. You don't have to be exclusive to Gab. But what I would say is that you should at least put in a little bit of effort because one day you're going to wake up, you have all of your eggs in the one basket of Twitter, and it's going to be gone. That entire audience is going to be gone. There's going to be no way for you to access it. Hopefully you've downloaded your content before you got suspended as well. So, you know, just keep that in mind is that if you spend a little bit of time investing in alternative platforms like Gab, there are others, spend the time investing in these people that are saying we have a 100% commitment to free speech and we're going to make sure that we empower dissidents around the world who are being silenced on the internet right now.
Do you know, I haven't actually looked into this, are any of the Trumps on Gab, Trump Jr., Ivanka, is anyone there using Gab?
Not that I'm aware of, but, you know, a lot of people have anonymous accounts and there's been some rumors. So I can't comment on that exclusively. But to my knowledge, no, they're not officially on Gab yet.
That would be one way, certainly, to kind of put a hole in the wall that they're trying to build sure. around Gab right now is to get one of the Trumps on there because then the media would be forced to cover it.
I don't understand. Isn't covering it right now. Like, we're exploding in growth. We're adding 50,000 new users every single quarter. We just raised $1 million this summer. We opened up our new funding round and reserved $1.2 million in 30 some days. We are doing incredible things. We're building out our team. We're building out our platform. And we're going to continue to be empowered as we go forward.
Well, the Twitter purge is on, and you can follow it. I know that people are following it and documenting it right now, all the accounts that are going down without a trace. It could be you next, folks. You never know. It happened to Roger Stone. It's happened to Milo Yiannopoulos. They want to silence conservatives. They want to silence Trump supporters. We'll be right back with Andrew Torba on the other side. Don't go anywhere. Are you still on Twitter? Have you checked lately? Are you a conservative? Are you a Trump supporter? You may have been purged because, after all, you are a neo-Nazi. You are a white supremacist. That is according to the Daily Beast, Huffington Post, and, of course, Twitter, who is currently purging its platform of these quote-unquote white supremacists that are really just Trump supporters of every different background and ethnicity and race and age and gender and everything. But they just really are filled with so much hate that they have to erase these people from their social media so that they don't have to be faced with them. See, that's what this is really to me, I think, as well, that the left is so weak-minded, they really don't even know how to handle conservative speech other than just to silence it. And that's why you see the behavior you see at these protests. That's why you hear about Twitter now purging conservatives from the platform. I'm joined by Andrew Torba here. Of course, he is the creator of Gab. Andrew, what other media outlets, if any, are even reaching out to you to help promote Gab right now?
Well, here's the thing. We have actually a media blacklist because for the first year of our existence, we gave the mainstream media a shot, a fair shot to cover us fairly. And they, you know, proceeded to call us the Twitter for racist and alt-right Twitter and all this nonsense when from day one, we said all are welcome. We have an incredibly diverse executive team. And, you know, we've welcomed everybody, you know, from the day that we've opened our doors. And I think here's what's going on right now. You know, JP Morgan, I think, just, said praises of Twitter today and their stock started soaring. Well, you know, Twitter is owned by a Saudi prince who's now in jail over money laundering, as we know. It's owned by, you know, hedge funds. It's owned by the likes of Jack Dorsey. All of these people, I think you nailed it. You know, in the free marketplace of ideas, when your idea is garbage, you have no choice but to censor the better ideas. And the best ideas are always going to win. So when their ideas are not winning anymore, and that's empirical through things like Trump getting elected and Brexit and all of these populist movements all across Europe, when the establishment and the elites are no longer winning, they have no other choice but to censor the speech that is rising in the marketplace. And I think we're going to continue to see this type of stuff happen as we go forward here into 2018 and 2020 and beyond.
You know, I couldn't help but laugh there when you said they call you the Twitter for racist. You know, Jack Dorsey hangs out and is friends with DeRay McKesson. I think that's how you say the guy's name, DeRay McKessonson or something like that. But this man is one of the most vitriolic, racist people I've ever seen in my life. He hates white people. I mean, I don't even care. I'm not bothered. If someone hates white people, fine. Hate white people. You know what? Not my problem. But these people exist on Twitter. They're like a dime a dozen. I mean, DeRay McKesson gets to go on Twitter and have anti-white rants all the time. You can go on Twitter right now and probably plug in "I hate white people" into the search bar. You'll probably get 1,000 results. So it's not that they're anti-racism. It's that they're anti-white people, and that's okay. But the whole thing, again, is run by, it's at least started by Jack Dorsey, who's white. So I just had to laugh when they say that Gab is the Twitter for racists, when you can go on Twitter right now and find just as much racism, if not more, on Twitter than you can on Gab.
Absolutely. And you can find it on Tumblr. You can find it on Reddit. You can find it on Facebook. Anywhere you go on the internet that you're looking for quote-unquote hate speech, you can find it, especially if it's against white people. That seems to be allowed. That type of hate speech seems to be allowed. And the double standard here is disgusting. You know, they point at us and they call us racists, and yet they allow other racists to malign and say they want to kill white people all over the internet. It's absurd. The double standard of Silicon Valley is absurd, and the people are starting to wake up to it.
Yeah, DeRay McKesson has an award. Did you know that he has an award he gives out called the Coon Train Award?
Really?
An award. It's called the Coon Train Award. Did you know about that?
I had no idea.
So, right. How is that not racist?
It doesn't make any sense. I mean,
see, that's what I'm saying. If Andrew Torba of Gab wanted to give out a Coon Train Award, he would be called a racist immediately and excoriated by everyone. But McKesson is allowed to give out a Coon Train Award. The only reason I know about this is because he recently, guys, you can look this up. Jesse Lee Peterson, who comes on the show with me, he recently got the Coon Train Award because Jesse Peterson is a Trump supporter, a conservative. So again, this isn't about white or black. This isn't about racism. It's so politics. That's what people need to see about this. This is 100% political driven. This is to silence conservatives, silence Trump supporters. It's not about race. If they cared about race, they'd care about racism against whites. If they cared about race, they'd listen to the black people that like Trump. No, this is a 100% political stunt.
Absolutely. And I think what it is they, like I said before, they know that 2016 was won because of their platforms, because the people, the populist movement used their to get their voice out, and they're not going to allow it to happen again in 2018 and 2020. So we're going to see this censorship improve. And I think that what you, expressed earlier, this is all just a guise. They're trying to say, oh, we're just banning the Nazis and the white supremacists and all this stuff. But in the reality, and I hear these stories every single day, It's, you know, a grandma from Kentucky who's getting banned. It's, you know, a Gen Z kid from Pennsylvania who's getting banned. It's everyday, normal, average people. Facebook is banning over a million accounts a day. A lot of people don't know that. So I think they're trying to paint this as, oh, we're just getting rid of extremism, when in reality, they're using it to silence, you know, millions of people.
Yeah, and I think the purge of Milo is the best example. This is why they hate Milo Yiannopoulos so bad. They can't call him a Nazi because he's Jewish. They can call him racist all day, but he talks about how he actually likes black men as a homosexual. So they don't. Yeah, is he married? I don't even know. The point is, they don't know what to do because all of the little buzzwords and the little phrases, they don't stick to him. So that's why they just erase him. And then all of a sudden it's not a problem. But you made an excellent point that hadn't really struck me until you said it. Maybe subtly it kind of hit me, but you just jammed it home. We used their tools to defeat them. I think that that's ultimately what rubs them so. I mean, they must be absolutely twisted up in knots inside to know that their tools led to the defeat of their president, or who they thought would be their president.
Well, I mean, think about it. They had all the data in the world, all of our personal data. They had all of the money in the world. They had all the elites behind them. They had the media. Everybody was in their back pocket, and they still lost because this was the true will of the people. And again, they don't want their platforms to be a tool to continue this revolution, this cultural and political revolution that we're living through right now. So I think that we're going to start to see more alternatives like us start to rise. And we're going to continue to build for the future of a decentralized internet where none of these companies, no matter how much money, no matter how much engineering talent they throw at it, no matter how much they lobby, they're not going to be able to stop the decentralized web, decentralized finance. We see Bitcoin exploding now. Maybe that's why JP Morgan is backing Twitter, so that they can censor all the people talking about Bitcoin, right? So I think that this is going to continue as we go forward here. And this censorship is going to, they're going to double down. They're going to triple down on it.
Well, there's no doubt that they're freaking out because their platforms are being used to promote America First and to promote conservatism. And I think that that's ultimately what has them freaking out. Andrew Torba, the creator of Gab AI, get Gab now before they censor you off Twitter and it's too late. Andrew, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, guys.
You know, and it's amazing, too, as Andrew departs, you think about Silicon Valley and you think about the West Coast and all the technology and all the breakthroughs that come out of there, yet we can't seem to put out a fire. Shocking. One of the most advanced technological areas in the history of planet Earth, and just a few miles away, we can't even put out a fire. Thanks, Democrats in California. Good job. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are about to take another break here. Got to remind you about all the specials, though, at InfoWarsStore.com. If you've been with me, you just heard me rambling about all the 50% off specials we have right now. It's like a book, the 50% off specials we have right now. And I got to tell you, the 50% off the InfoWars Life Select Storable Foods, that is about as good of a deal as you're going to find anywhere right now doing Christmas shopping. That is huge savings. And then, we don't even plug this enough, when you get the free shipping, which, by the way, free shipping is store-wide right now. That's right, you heard me correct. Free shipping store-wide at InfoWarsStore.com with the 50% off the InfoWars Life Select Storable Foods and the free shipping. Folks, you are talking about hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars in savings right now. Thousands of dollars in savings for the biggest InfoWars Select Storable Food deals with 50% off and free shipping right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Take advantage of all of our Christmas savings at InfoWarsStore.com.
This is the return of the Republic. And this is the War Room with Owen Schroyer
and Roger Stone.
Have some kind of secret meeting?
We got a secret meeting right now, Roger. This is a secret meeting.
Right.
Roger Stone and I are having a secret meeting right now in the War Room. You're not even supposed to be here, folks. You can't be listening to this. Just like Roger Stone had a secret meeting at a public place with Matt Gaetz the other night. You're just having secret meetings all over the place.
Yeah, no, this is an extraordinary narrative. Matt Gaetz is the hard-charging young conservative congressman from Northern Florida, has the seat that once belonged to Joe Scarborough. And he's a good friend of mine. We met when he was in the state legislature. He is a leader on the legalized marijuana movement. And he's been very aggressive about the partisan nature and the corruption of the Mueller probe. When he was on Air Force One with the president last week, according to Politico, he told the president that a coup d'etat was in the works and that the Mueller probe is hopelessly partisan. Now, if you go on Twitter or Facebook, it's Stone and Gaetz had a secret meeting. Gaetz is doing Stone's bidding. No, Matt Gaetz is a patriot. Yes, we are working together to expose the real criminals. You're right. There is criminality here. The criminality of Mueller, Weissman, Strzok, and others. So it's the, you know, these left-wing conspiracy theorists. What's with these conspiracy theorists? They've got all these crazy left-wing conspiracies they believe in. Matt Gaetz, great patriot. Great patriot, Owen.
I find this actually hilarious. I just realized something, Roger. You're not allowed to go to dinner, okay? You're not allowed to tweet.
No.
You're not allowed to write a book.
Yeah, no, it's...
You just need to shut up and get out of here.
It's bizarre. So you have this buffoon, Tom Arnold, the out-of-work actor, and he goes on his Twitter feed, and he says that Roger Stone and John Phillips, who's a very popular conservative talk show host on KABC in L.A., thank you.
Just keep talking. You don't need tape.
This is what happens when we have secret meetings.
It will pop out. Watch.
You're not following my orders.
It'll pop out.
You're
watch.
Not getting command from Putin.
The tape wasn't working.
Putin said fix the tape. So
we got it. So, and delete the tapes too.
So Arnold goes on and says that Stone and Phillips coached Leanne Tweeden. I've never met Leanne Tweeden. I've never talked to her, never communicated with her, never spoken to her on the phone. Then he says he will provide proof. He provides no proof. Then he hears from someone, probably Joan Walsh of The Nation, and he names the restaurant where I frequently eat in Manhattan. He's now cyberstalking me, saying, go to the restaurant and confront Stone. Now, I think he's fomenting violence. Don't you think that violates Twitter's guidelines?
Well, is he a conservative or a liberal?
Oh, Tom Arnold, he's a leftist. Now,
then he's good to go.
Look, I understand. He does stand up. He's got a gig at the Comedy Store on Sunset Boulevard. I understand tickets are not flying off the shelves. He doesn't even have half a house. So he thinks he can sell more tickets by attacking Roger Stone. But I don't think it's working. Hey, Tom, you promised proof. Put up or shut up.
Well, the amazing thing to me is they'll say Roger Stone is coaching Leanne Tweeden. Ooh, like you have some sort of connection there. Or you're,
let's be very clear though, because now for the former governor of Minnesota picked this up on his blog, and some clown named Richard Painter, who was the ethics lawyer in the George W. Bush White House, which is kind of an oxymoron, is out saying, oh, Franken should not step down until Stone's involvement is investigated. So here we go, Mr. Painter. I'm going to swear out an affidavit this afternoon in Texas. You're right. Franken should not step down. We should have a full Senate hearing in which everyone should be under oath, and I will go first to tell you what I know and when I knew it. And then you can make your charges under oath so I can file the bar complaint to remove your law license. Stop lying. I have no involvement.
Let's make talk radio great again.
This is the War Room.
Don't you dare on me. 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 Don't you dare on me.
Okay, I find this terribly ironic. Roger Stone joins us now, and they want to push a false narrative that Roger Stone has been coaching Leanne Tweeden into coming out against Al Franken. We're going to get into that more in a second. But here's the great irony to me, Roger. We have literally caught Gloria Allred pushing forth false allegations with fake forged signatures. We've caught Lisa Bloom trying to foist people into the picture, giving funds to come forward against Trump. So I mean, you want to talk about coaching? You want to talk about prodding? Heck, you want to talk about bribing? We've got that with Gloria Allred. We've got that with Lisa Bloom. They're caught, but it's you, Roger, with no evidence.
No, so look, I challenge Richard Painter, this phony who worked in the Bush White House. If you have evidence that I coached Leanne Tweeden or had any involvement in the Franken matter other than reporting it, produce it. If you can't produce it, you need to shut up. But better yet, you're right. Franken shouldn't resign. Let's have full Senate hearings. Let's put all of his victims under oath. Let's put the senator under oath. I'll go first. But then you can testify. Who told you that I was involved? Why do you believe this? Let's see if you perjure yourself. I'm sick of this. Richard Painter, are you out of work? Is that why you need to send out these tweets?
You know, it would be interesting, though, to force a situation where these people do have to go under oath.
Yes.
I mean, that might be what we need. I mean, I'm sure that that's not where they expect this can go. They think they can just bully you.
I'm swearing out my affidavit. Mr. Painter, swear out yours under oath. Go ahead. Make the charges you made on Twitter and at Politico under oath. I dare you. I challenge you. You won't do it. You're gutless.
Wait. Was that really his Twitter, guys? Can you pull up his Twitter again for us real quick? Is that really him?
Yeah.
That's Dick Painter?
Yeah.
He looks like a Dick Painter.
Yeah, he sure does. No, look, the guy has nothing. He has zero. He's repeating a meme created by an out-of-work comedian. Should be ashamed of himself. But go ahead, swear it out under oath so I can file with the bar to complain about your lies.
Well, I like the fact that you're willing to stick up for yourself in these situations, Roger, because a lot of people aren't, and a lot of people need your example in this situation. While we know that they're trying to purge people off Twitter, they've already got rid of you. They're trying to character assassinate people and dehumanize people by saying they're racist or Nazis. Yeah, there it is right there in the Huffington Post, the Huffington Puffington Post. You know,
the epitome of fake news, the Huffington Post.
I mean, are they ever going to give up, or are they just going to continue to beat their heads until there's nothing, they're just completely gone?
Well, it turns out now, I realize that my being banned for life at Twitter, I'm just 60 days earlier than everyone else.
Right.
This is all coming.
I'm still alive.
But do they understand? We will go to the Twitter headquarters in California. We will surround it. We'll be protesting every day. No, you won't get away with it. In the end, Owen, market forces will destroy Twitter. How is it you fools have a monopoly and you can't make any money? Why aren't you making any money?
That's true.
If Disney is successful in buying Twitter, we'll be back, and then nobody will be censored.
And then you're on the march to own Twitter still?
Well, I'm going to sue them. I haven't done so yet because, frankly, I had to fight this phony Soros finance defamation lawsuit against me, where a Manhattan jury of all Democrats voted in about 15 minutes to acquit me, to release a finding of no cause and therefore dismiss the case. So one down, one to go. I have these Obama thugs, Project for Democracy, an Obama-blessed group, suing me and the president, claiming that we worked with the Russians to hack the DNC and give the information to WikiLeaks. Completely fraudulent. Now we have the Shaved Head Brigade, Hayden, Brennan, Clapper. They've filed an amicus brief reiterating, recycling their lies about Russian involvement in the 2016 campaign. Of course, I can't question them under the rules. So I have to win that lawsuit. My legal bills have hit $500,000. By the way, stonedefensefund.com, if you want to send us a Christmas present, because this does threaten to bankrupt me. But I'm not going to stop fighting, Owen. I'm not going to stop talking. I intend to continue this fight. Suing us, suing Alex Jones, suing Roger Stone, it's not going to shut us up, folks. Just not going to.
No, if anything, just from working with Alex, I know that it motivates him further. You know, they do put obstacles in front of us, but it just makes us stronger in the end. And I'm just curious your thoughts, Roger, because I'm kind of on the same page as Alex is right now. I don't know how this doesn't blow up in their face. We've always kind of seen that coming and, you know, read the tea leaves and known the history that there's no way if they go full bore with this whole Trump-Russia thing, it doesn't fall back on them. It looks like everything is starting to be exposed now with Fusion GPS, the DOJ, the Obama administration, all working together, creating this fake dossier. I mean, if they keep going and keep going, the truth will all come out and it'll all land on them. Are they going to stop this at some point before they incriminate themselves?
No, because I think they're oblivious. Look, in 1974, this all worked. Nixon was depicted as a madman and a crook, even though his crimes were venal compared to what Obama has done. Barack Obama was importing guns to terrorists abroad.
And we got Richard that story Nixon, now today,
Richard
too.
Nixon went down for what? Four Cubans breaking into the DNC and not planting a bug successfully? Looks kind of minor now. But the mainstream media was able to sustain this phony narrative because there was no InfoWars. There was no Breitbart. There was no Daily Caller. There was no Town Hall. There were no alternative voices. They're used to having the monopoly that everything is the way we say it is. And this is the truth. No, we're telling the truth. What's interesting to me is this Harvard-Harris poll that showed that 54% of Americans believe that the Mueller probe is corrupted.
And that's including Democrats.
That's pretty good since CBS, ABC, and NBC and CNN don't and MSNBC don't report it. Pretty good.
Well, the amazing thing to me is when I go out and I talk to these protesters in the streets that believe the nonsense about the Trump-Russia and they really think he's going down for some collusion with Russia. But then I go up and I say, do you trust the FBI? No. Do you trust CNN and MSNBC? No. Well, then where are you getting this intel? Well, the FBI and CNN and MSNBC.
Yeah. No, look, I just watched Brian Stelter saying Trump is undermining law enforcement. Listen carefully, Brian. I know you're a little thick. No, Trump is undermining the corrupt people who have gotten positions in law enforcement through political connections and now are acting in an illegal manner. Did you hear me? Think about it. Trump is undermining law enforcement. You really are a buffoon, Brian.
Well, Brian Stelter has been undermining the free buffet, I think, at CNN.
He has been openly caught wearing a suit and sandals on the air, folks. Wait, he is cruising for the worst dressed list.
You have proof of this?
I have eyewitness proof.
Well, myself. I know that, you know, George Costanza was kind of skimpy on his spending. I don't know if the George Costanza of news, Brian Stelter, is the same way.
He is kind of a George Costanza type.
He looks like George
Costanza. You know, the four phrases of fame. Who is Brian Stelter? Get me Brian Stelter. Get me a Brian Stelter type. Who is Brian Stelter?
It comes full circle. There he is right there. How is that not George Costanza?
Yeah. And this man on the left is wearing sandals in that picture and no socks, I guarantee you.
I think I'd rather listen to George Costanza tell me news than Brian Stelter.
No, Brian Stelter, the guy's very glib. He's just not a journalist. Don't pretend to be a journalist when you're not a journalist. You're a propagandist. What you say, more than half of it, is just false.
Kind of looks like the Marshmallow Man from Ghostbusters also as well. All right, well, we'll quit making fun of Brian Stelter. He does that to himself every day. He goes on air. But as Roger was saying, Obama protected Hezbollah drug and human trafficking rings to appease Iran. This is breaking all over the news today, including Politico. You know, Roger, it's just amazing. They'll come after you, but they'll ignore the blatant crimes of Barack Obama. Really sad.
You know, it's interesting to watch Joe Biden on CBS's morning show last week with the chiclet teeth and the fake hair and the
whole
thing.
You know what? Let's get into that on the other side. Right. Joe Biden goes on TV. What were his latest antics? Is he still fondling young children on television, too? We'll get into that. Today is actually the birthday of one of the most famous communists of all time, Joseph Stalin. And the rumors are that that's why Twitter has chosen today as its day of purge to celebrate their hero, Joseph Stalin. How about that? Well, Roger Stone, we are not supported by any entities out there that you see on television, like big pharmaceutical, big banks, big whatever. We are funded by you, our big audience, and you make it possible with all of the shopping that you do at InfoWarsStore.com. You know, we've actually got 50% off still, Roger, on your favorite product, Brain Force Plus.
Yeah, look, it is absolutely impossible to do this show, to put in the hours that Alex Jones demands that we do to check and double check our stories without this terrific product. I really find it gives me mental clarity, mental energy. And I advocate that you buy a case of it and send it to your favorite liberal, because those liberals could use some additional brain power. And it's a great price. And now I've gotten on the auto ship, so I'll never be without. Because one time when I needed it, they were out and I had to wait like 2 weeks. That'll never happen again.
Well, I know that a lot of people have been taking your word for it on this product and not just trying it, but also wanting to go to the auto ship feature as well because of that convenience.
Plus, I'm very interested now to try Alpha Power, because if you go through the ingredients, most of these have been known in Chinese medicine for centuries as a natural developer of energy, which they call qi. And it really looks to me to be an innovative formula. It has kind of the best of the modern ingredients, and it also has the best of some of the ancient Chinese herbs. I'm very anxious to try it. Michael Zimmerman has vouched for it. There's a man who knows his herbs.
We are all about qi, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
We like having a good qi.
We like good qi, and we're very big on preserving our jing.
That's very true. And so we like to do that, and we bring you products to help you do that at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, both the products just mentioned by Roger, Alpha Power and Brain Force Plus, both 50% off right now as part of our Christmas special. Look at Alpha Power, already a 4.7 review. That's a brand new product, so I'm sure more positive reviews will be flowing in for that. 50% off both of those great products. Well, you know, Roger, Joe Biden is really just a strange, strange character. This is a man who, well, where to begin? I mean, he's seen on C-SPAN. I mean, this isn't just rhetoric. I mean, he's literally groping young children. It's dozens of times on C-SPAN. That's not us making it up. He had a strange situation. Again, I'm not judging. I'm just reporting. He had a strange situation where his son ended up dating the wife of his deceased son in a very strange, you know, family deal there. It's just, again, I'm not judging. I'm just saying. And then he comes out and he's endorsing it and all this weird stuff. How is Joe Biden? I mean, Trump says something on a tape and he gets excoriated for more than a year now because of what he said on a tape that I believe was doctored. President Trump has said he thinks it might be doctored too. But Joe Biden gets to whisper in young children's ears, touch little girls in places that if anyone else did it, they'd probably put in jail. I mean, what is the deal with this? How does Joe Biden get away with this behavior?
Yeah, no, his performance on the CBS Morning Show last week was incredible, Owen. First of all, he criticized Roy Moore on the issue of sexual harassment of underage children. Yet, Creepy Joe can't keep his hands off of anyone.
Let's get some of that B-roll if we
can,
guys.
Women and children. Jeff Sessions had to slap his hands away from his granddaughter when Joe was trying to molest him. There's something sick about this man. Then, additionally, he says with a straight face in praising Barack Obama that in 8 years of the Biden-Obama administration, there was not a hint of scandal. Dude, fast and furious. Are you a moron? I mean, extraordinary. Don't you read the newspapers?
Yeah, and just because you don't report on his fake birth certificate doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
Well, look, I pray that Joe Biden runs for president, because I want to beat him like a drum. He's a buffoon. Even the Democrats call him Crazy Joe and know he's around the bend. And as for his claim to be a middle-class guy, he lives in a multi-million-dollar mansion in Greenville, the most exclusive place in Wilmington, Delaware. He's a snob, and he thinks he's important. As I'm sure you've heard the story, he goes to a buffet at a casino in Dover where there's a long line of senior citizens waiting to eat, and he cuts to the head of the line. And when the guy in front of him says, "Hey, you, back to the end of the line," he says the classic line, don't you know who I am? And the guy said, yeah, we know exactly who you are. Get back to the end of the line. What kind of a pompous, phony buffoon cuts in front of a bunch of senior citizens to get at the head of the line to eat?
Yeah, it doesn't get much more phony and really just disgusting than Joe Biden. And I think, and I don't know how much we can really get into this. It's very convoluted, obviously. But I think a lot of the reason for Joe Biden's anti-Trump sentiment is because of whatever's going on with the oil deals in Ukraine, trying to get that pipeline through Syria. I think that that has a lot to do with McMaster's stance and what he's trying to do in Syria. So I think there's a lot of backhandedness going on there with those oil pipelines they're trying to get through. Now, I don't even know if Trump is aware of this. I bet Tillerson probably is, though.
Well, it would be very useful to have an examination into the lobbying practice of Biden's brother and his son. They've made millions off Ukraine. They've made millions off the big banks. If you think the interest rate on your credit card is too high, thank Joe Biden, because he's owned by the Delaware banks. And they pay his brother and his son millions of dollars to ensure that they can, that you and I pay through the nose. Joe Biden, you know, every time he's run for president, it's amazing how he implodes, how he gets no votes. Yet he views himself as some kind of historical figure. This is a guy who goes around with the nuclear codes like this to show everybody that he has them, showing them on television. What kind of security risk is that? He's just trying to look important.
Yeah. Seems like a guy who just wants a lot of attention, but he shouldn't want it on him, knowing, you know, the type of things he's into.
Well, look, I hope he runs. I really hope he runs. But I think you and I have already concluded that Michelle Obama will be the Democratic nominee. I'm on the record. I believe she will be.
Maybe Joe can get a VP spot, though.
He's got a lot of experience at that.
He's really good at VPing.
He's a number two guy if there ever was
one. He is a number
two guy. He's so full of number two, it's beyond belief.
If I had to, if I had two people, he'd be my number two every time.
No question. He's full of number two.
A bona fide number two, really.
He really fits the number two role.
And he kind of reminds me of a number two.
In a way, yes.
You know what I'm saying? Yes. Every once in a while, I have to do a number two, and it's a Joe Biden. Sometimes it's a Hillary Clinton. Other times it's an Obama. So we're going to get into some other news with
Actually,
Tyler Nixon.
I just say I've got to take a shift. But in any event...
It's all the same. They're all the same people. So we're going to be joined by Tyler Nixon on the other side. But you heard it here, folks. If Joe Biden wants to run, please throw your hat in the ring, because it's just going to be another defeat for you and the Democrat Party. So we take a break now. When we get back, Tyler Nixon joins us. I'm sure we're going to talk more about the Mueller probe that is so biased. It's not even funny. How did Mueller obtain the documents? This is now being called into question. Did Mueller break the law when obtaining the documents? And how is it that we're able to obtain all of these Trump emails, even though he wasn't under FBI investigation, but Hillary Clinton's emails, poof, gone.
This is the return of the Republic. And this is the War Room with Owen Schroyer
and Roger Stone
at Infowars.com/show.
You know what I think it is? I think I just realized why Antifa and the left is becoming so unhinged right now. Welcome back to the War Room with Owen Schroyer and Roger Stone. See, first they were told that Hillary Clinton was going to win, and they totally bought into that, and then, like a ton of bricks, that crushed them, that she lost. Then they were told for a year that Trump would be impeached and that Russian collusion would bring him down. That didn't happen. That fell on top of them like a ton of bricks. So now we've got these stories, and of course the big story today, Roger, is the train derailment in Washington. You had this archived Antifa post where these deranged leftists are talking about vandalizing train tracks in Washington in order to stop fracking parts from going across the state. And then magically, after the train derailment today, they deleted that post. So a bunch of people are paying attention to that now. You know, but this doesn't go beyond the bounds of an Antifa, Roger. We already know they're violent. We saw what they did in Washington, D.C. after the inauguration. We've seen what they've done at some of these Black Lives Matter protests. They shoot cops. They burn things down. I mean, this is right in their playbook.
No, they have blood on their hands now, very clearly. And there are more and more. There's more and more evidence that they're involved in this derailment. You know, I'm not for gun control, but here's one suggestion for all of those who seem to be upset. It should be illegal to wear a mask and have a gun. These are cowards who have to cover their faces because they won't own up to their political actions. They won't take responsibility for who they are. And it's disgraceful what has now happened, that you would have this kind of loss of life, of innocence, because of their objections to fracking.
Yeah, and again, this is a story where they openly bragged about vandalizing these train tracks in Washington. This was back in April, in order to derail a train because it had fracking parts. And then what happens today, obviously the train derailment, they delete this post, raises a bunch of red flags. But, you know, it's funny to me, Roger, where the Austin Police Department is not my enemy. In fact, I would say they're my friends. I have gotten to know a few of the police officers there. I see them all the time at these events. Great people, patriots. I know a lot of them listen. But for whatever reason, they are not doing anything about the people showing up with guns and their faces covered. If you want to show up with your face covered, fine. If you want to show up with your face covered and then block my right to assemble and free speech, that's illegal. You want to show up with your face covered and have your finger on the trigger, that's illegal. Now, we're about to have an attorney come in here in the next segment, Tyler Nixon, but I've also reviewed the law, and I've also had attorneys submit to me the exact criminal statutes that these people are violating. So if they continue to push, eventually it's going to come back on them because the police are going to have to follow the law eventually. They've been tolerant, more or less in their words, "I'm sorry, Owen, there's nothing we can do about people acting like children," but that's what they're doing. But eventually when you start hurting people, that's no longer acting like a child. Now you're acting like a felon.
No, and we saw this during the inauguration. Now, recognize that the D.C. Metropolitan Police is essentially under the control of the president. The D.C. Metropolitan Government, although it has some measure of autonomy, because it's funded by the Congress and the mayor used to be appointed by the president. And it was very clear that the D.C. police were told to stand down. When we were trying to enter the deplorable ball, where both Alex and I were invited to speak, but we couldn't get there.
That was crazy.
Because and there was a hail of spit and rocks and bottles and baggies full of Clorox and baggies.
Yeah, in fact, guys, if you want, see if you can find the video I shot trying to get into the deplorable, because we have everything that Roger's talking about on film too.
I mean, my granddaughter, who was there for the inauguration, caught a broken Coke bottle in the ankle. We had to take her to George Washington Hospital. These thugs act lawless, and the police just stood there and watched. Mm-hmm. Watched this literally a tidal wave of debris being thrown at people trying to celebrate the inauguration.
And this was, you know, people of all different ages and races and backgrounds. So it was like just a full-on hatred of everyone.
No, if you hit somebody in the face with a plastic baggie full of Clorox, you're going to blind them.
Well,
you could do serious permanent damage, and that's their intention.
See, that's what I'm saying. They don't understand. That's what I'm saying. They think that this is like a video game. They're pathological LARPers. But when you actually hurt someone, you're no longer LARPing. And I can tell you, I got raw chlorine in my eye as a kid. I have a permanent scar on my eye. That's no joke. I'm actually lucky to still have the vision that I have. But yeah, you get bleach, you get chlorine, you get some raw acid in someone's eye, you could blind them. You're looking at some serious jail time.
And guys,
and that's why I keep telling the police, we better do something now before it gets worse. Alex?
Yeah, let me throw this in because it just hit me. They admit to train attacks right outside the area where this attack happened. The FBI, the AP, local authorities say that it was blocked. And so the issue is they're calling for attacks. They've done attacks. They're training for attacks. They have taken credit for derailments in the area in the last few months, and they have training videos. So they've taken credit for this because they called for it. And they're in the area. The police have been trying to arrest them. They've been blocking the area. And, you know, notice where's the rest of the media pointing out that there's a group in Washington, this is outside Seattle, saying they're doing it, saying they would do it. They've done it. They're training for it. And now it's happened. So it is a very low probability this is a normal derailment. Now I've learned, fixed up that track, fixed the rail beds to have it be high speed. One of the few areas is a showpiece, try to update the tracks. So it doesn't look like an infrastructure issue. They got it up there on a bridge because they wanted to derail it off the side of the bridge. down into that highway, and all the evidence points towards that. Meanwhile, I'm watching Fox News with sickening Saturday Night Live people that have tattoos of Hillary Clinton, where she looks like some demonic, you know, blood-sucking demon. It's a very accurate actual tattoo. So it's just there's no end to this, okay? They've taken credit for derailment attacks in Washington and have been calling for more. And on the first run of this train, when they opened it back up, this attack just took place. Don't tell me the train on its first voyage did this. It's sick. And now they're pulling down their calls for it. They're so proud of themselves. What have I said? Go find Antifa people. They're violent. They've already attacked. They're fascist communist scumbags. Shoot them. Kill them. Go out and murder them. I'm not saying that. But what have I said? Go out, kill them, shoot them, take them out. They're a threat. Like they're saying, we're committing crimes. We're going to derail trains. We're going to shoot cops. We're going to shoot innocent people. We're going to go attack Trump supporters. We're going to beat them in the head. We're allowed to have violence. Well, I mean, imagine if we were doing that, we'd be stopped, which is because you can't just call for violence out of the clear blue. They need to be stopped right now. Back to your live transmission.
Yeah, and let's be clear, too. They've already tried to set us up for that. With things like what happened in Charlottesville when they show up and incite violence, and then they want to blame any conservative who may have been in the area. And it's also worth mentioning, guys, and I think this goes exactly with what Alex was just saying, I'm pretty sure that the local police out there called for a state of emergency. And if you guys could actually look that up, why would they call for a state of emergency if this just happened to be infrastructure problem or a train derailment where something was wrong with the tracks? To me, that means that if they think this is a state of emergency, they think that there may have been some foul play at hand.
Well, but the question here is, where is the FBI? This is now a federal crime. Are they going to be politically correct, or are they going to move in and arrest the perps? Alex is right. When people boast about doing this, and then it happens, it's time for prosecutions.
Well, and let's go back to what you were talking about before at the deplorable, where I witnessed the same thing, Roger. I'm trying to walk in. I had Antifa's come and rip my bow tie off. I had Antifa come and try to rip my jacket. I had Antifa rip the camera out from my hand. I had Antifa trying to bully the girl that I came with. If it wasn't for other alternative media out there, I probably would have gotten jumped and sprayed with, you know, whatever acid or feces, you know, that they carry around with them. I mean, these people are just out of hand. They need to be stopped.
Well, in your case, this is the price of being a superstar. But look, I went to an ATM to try to take out some cash. The problem is Antifa had smashed all of them, so they didn't work. I mean,
well, they don't need the ATM. They don't have any cash.
Yeah, well, no, they do have cash, but it's all being delivered from George Soros.
That's true. Or they, you know, go into mommy's purse and see if they can't find some loose change.
Exactly.
That's how they operate. All right, so on the other side, we're going to be joined by Tyler Nixon. We're going to get into the legal or illegality of some of the activities of Antifa. Don't go anywhere. This is The War Room. Welcome back to The War Room. Owen Schroyer, Roger Stone, and Tyler Nixon joins us now. And we were discussing what type of illegal behavior Antifa has been engaged in. And Tyler's just like, it'd be easier to name the legal behavior they're engaged in because most of it is illegal. What are you thinking now? You've got this blog that's been connected to Antifa bragging about sabotaging train tracks in order to derail trains carrying fracking parts. Now we have the train derailment in Washington, a state of emergency declared. What kind of legal precedent, could be gained here in order to investigate whoever made this blog post saying that they're going to sabotage those tracks?
Well, I mean, I don't think you need a legal precedent. I mean, if it's clearly there is a connection there, I mean, it's obviously needs to be investigated because of the possible connection, because there is the threat to do that type of sabotage. Antifa is, I'm very libertarian. I think the right to assemble, the right to protest the government, the right to freely speak and so forth is, and of course to keep and bear arms is essential. It's natural, God-given right. But at the same time, it has to be done responsibly. And I don't think, for example, they're brandishing firearms in public. Owen, you certainly have, you know, been privy to that or been exposed to that. And I think you're a brave man for having faced those people down, not because I think that they're necessarily dangerous with a firearm because they're good with it. I just think they're dangerous with firearms because they don't know what they're doing. They don't know how to handle it. And they basically are amateurs. And who knows? All it takes is someone's slip of the finger and somebody gets shot. I think that that's really a problem. I think there ought to be a national law. If you want to talk about gun control laws, you can't wear a mask. You can't conceal your identity if you're going to be brandishing a firearm, particularly when it's involved with a peaceful public protest. Why are there firearms out there? I mean, we know that these are not people who are doing it because of their Second Amendment rights and they want to exercise them under open carry. They're doing it because they want to menace people. They're doing it because they want to give the sense that they mean business in terms of what their agenda is, which is to overthrow our system of our economic system, our capitalism, our democracy, and to enforce their foolhardy Marxist nonsense claptrap that's been disproven through history over and over.
Speaking, the only people who brandish guns and wear masks are bank robbers.
Well, there's,
And in this case, Amtrak, a federal entity. The track is federally subsidized. This is a federal crime.
Absolutely.
Where is the FBI? Hopefully they are closing in on the perps even as we speak to arrest them.
Well, you wonder, too, where was the FBI in the original posting of this, too, when this first was posted?
I think they're busy, going through Trump's emails.
So, we know that.
Right, exactly.
Not Hillary's.
yeah, exactly. I think that this has been sort of taken as initially a ragtag group of people who were no threat. Yes, there was like street violence. Yes, there were brawls, but probably nothing worse than maybe 1968, which Roger might remember, in Chicago and so forth. I think there are people within Antifa who do mean business, who are serious, who will arm up eventually and become more and more deft at terrorist attacks, frankly. And I think they need to be taken very seriously as potentially named as a terrorist organization.
But I've always wondered if we can establish George Soros's funding of these people who are committing crimes, if we can establish Soros funding of people who are going on the internet advocating the assassination of the president, a crime. Soros lives in New York. Why has he not been arrested? Why is he not being prosecuted? These are clear, easy to identify crimes. Is it just that he is so elite, that he is so wealthy, that he is so connected, that he can foment violence illegally and get away with it?
Well, and the amazing thing to me is obviously, one of these guys is not going to take their mask off and actually try to fight someone. Let's just use me for an example. If I go to one of these things and I've got a Trump shirt on and 20 of these masked Antifa guys come up to me and wants to fight, and I say, all right, let's go with one of you. Pick your biggest guy, no weapons, and we'll just have it out. You have to take. None of them would do that. They only show up when they're in groups and they have their masks on. So
there's only one saving grace of the masks.
So we don't have to see their face.
Their breath
is bad, too.
I don't think three of them would have taken you on.
They need probably not. Well, they do need some Super Blue fluoride-free toothpaste.
But some soap, I think, generally speaking.
A shower would be nice. Maybe some discipline, too. That's kind of what leads to showers. But
I said bring out the fire hoses, Bill Connor style.
But here's the thing, though. This is why it's dangerous, though. The reason why I say that is because, of course an Antifa guy is not actually going to show up and want to beat me up while he's on camera. Of course they're not going to want to show up and beat up an old guy or someone that supports Trump while they're out there in daylight. But if they can go and sabotage a train track and then scurry away and then the train crashes, well, they're down with that. If they can hide behind their mask and throw a rock at a police officer or throw a stink bomb or throw some acid or spray you in a crowd, they're okay with that. So it's really only when they can hide and get away with these things that they even try it. That's why, to me, the police need to bear down on them, because as long as they can get away with it, they're going to keep going.
Yeah, I'm concerned that the police have sort of stood on the sidelines, been ordered to stand down, and have given these folks an impression, an idea that they can get away with this kind of stuff. I mean, if you watch the films of what went on in Berkeley, they were throwing M80s into crowds of people. That's a quarter stick of dynamite. They were setting off stun grenades.
Yeah,
they
one of them almost hit our camera. Kit Daniels was holding a camera. One blew up like 2 feet from him.
Yeah, that could maim, injure, and easily, gravely injure anybody. And they were testing the limits, and nobody has put them down. No arrests, no real crackdown, viewing it as sort of like, just college kids, letting loose.
No,
it's not. It's an organized terrorist organization intent on overthrowing our system.
No, I think you put your finger on it. Talking to rank and file police officers, law enforcement officers, they're seething inside because the higher ups are ordering them to stand down, to do nothing. They see crimes being committed, but they're being ordered not to arrest people so they can be prosecuted because it's politically incorrect.
Well, let me just say one thing is we are getting more savvy as far as how to deal with these people. And I'm not just talking about getting the increased YouTube views and embarrassing these people more on YouTube. Next time this happens, I'm going to pull out the law and I'm going to cite the legal document right in front of the police officers. And we'll see if they do anything about it then.
Well, dare I say it, the KKK was effectively gutted as a national organization by a civil suit for wrongful death when there were some murders that happened in Tennessee, I believe, maybe Memphis in late 1970s. Look, Antifa's got to have some resources somewhere. There's some connections going to higher funding and so forth. I think your suit, for example, civil rights lawsuit, ironically, in the end, in the long term, may be one way to really stick it to these people, and whoever's funding them.
Just give an update. I'll just tell the audience. I've had people inquire about where my pressing charges against them have gone. Pretty much fell on deaf ears. Unfortunately, at APD, their basic response is we can't do anything about people behaving like children. And when I tried to file the civil with the federal, I mean, you can only imagine the runaround I got there. Yeah. So
what about the ACLU?
The ACLU is actually really busy in California putting out those wildfires. Oh, no, that's not the ACLU. Sorry, they're not doing anything.
The ACL useless, as I call them. But
they're standing up for Linda Sarsour, probably.
Pathetic. Truly pathetic.
It really is amazing.
No, it just seems to me the FBI, all they have to do is follow the money. I think you can find out who's funding this.
I agree.
And then start arresting the higher-ups. But the government has to have the will to do it. And the president needs to have an FBI director who's not in the tank. If you look at the role of the new FBI director, Mr. Wray, in the Enron prosecutions and his close association with Robert Mueller and Mr. Weissman, he is the wrong man for the job. And I don't think you can expect reform of the FBI under Director Wray.
Well, speaking as a former Army infantryman, I can tell you I have friends who I served with. For Antifa to try anything on a serious level, they are just asking to get completely liquidated and wiped out. Because let me tell you something, the restraint, even more so than the police, has been on the side of the people who support liberty and justice and, you know, peace in our society, in a civil society.
No, and I predicted on TMZ that you would have a revolution if Trump is illicitly removed by these thugs. It was depicted as advocating violence. No, I'm saying that's going to be the result of their actions. American people just will not stand for this at a certain level. And that, I think, is Alex Jones's concern. We're going to have violence in this country, not violence that we advocate or that we foment, violence that is begun by them.
Yeah, let's be clear. Our protest was putting Trump in office. That was our movement. That was our voice. We don't go out in the street with our masks and guns. That's not what we do. We get politically involved. That's why when I see this story, and it's not just Eric Holder, it's people in Hollywood, it's people in the music industry. Holder calls for protest if Trump fires Mueller. This is what I was saying at the top of the show, guys.
Yeah.
Do you realize what would happen?
Reckless in this environment to call for that type. I mean, Holder is a disgrace. He should never have served in the Attorney General's office. That is reckless, period.
And let me just put it this way. If you remove Trump from office, we're not calling for protests. We're not going to call for anything. You're going to get what you get if they take Trump out of office. Any final words, fellas?
I totally agree. Look, our folks believe in the Second Amendment, and they believe in democracy. And if they believe it is being subverted, I think you will have a cataclysmic crisis in this country.
And that's what we want to avoid.
Live free or die. It's plain and simple.
All right, Roger Stone, Tyler Nixon, sign off. We'll be right back with Bev Harris.
If you want the future, you must fight for it.
This
is The War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back to The War Room. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. We know that the deep state is entrenched in the Middle East with their proxy wars and their oil wars and their regime change wars. Here's John Bowne breaking the latest.
are able to force things out that the media is already sitting on. Remember, Roger Stone and others broke here 2.5 months ago that McMaster was at a particular restaurant, particular place, and who he was with, and that he said, oh, I just got off the phone with that idiot moron. All he can do is use Twitter. He's so stupid. I'm afraid he's going to blow the planet up. And that McMaster was a slob and drunk. Now, we knew the New York Post sat on that. The New York Times sat on that. We were given it because they sat on it. And then 2 months later, 2.5 months later, it broke, what, 2 weeks ago. Exactly as we said, at the very restaurant, all of it confirmed.
McMaster went to dinner with CEO executive from Oracle, Safra Katz. Katz is widely admired in the business community and was being recruited as a possible chairman for the president's intelligence review board. McMaster became exceedingly inebriated, according to the report I have received, and during the dinner took a phone call from the president, at least having the good sense to step away from the table. But when he returned, he went into a diatribe about his boss. He described the president as a dope, said that he couldn't think beyond 140 characters, that he couldn't understand any complex issues, and that the idea of Trump with his hands on the nuclear football was inappropriate or scary. He said it's scary. And that his view is his job was to save Trump from blowing up the world.
McMaster, as I started out in April, he started purging anybody who was remotely America First to anybody who actually cared about America. He had said that we need to get rid of all of the Trump people and bring in Obama holdovers. And then he said you can't even call people Obama holdovers. So right now we are in a war for the future of our nation, and McMaster is the greatest national security threat facing America.
That's our job, is to not get the attention or even be praised for what we do. It's to force the media to cover it. That's our real power. Because before, they could cover stuff up like that forever. They could cover up a Monica Lewinsky or Chinese missile secrets, you name it, if whistleblowers went public, because there wasn't a drudgereport.com to put it up. Like back with Monica Lewinsky. McMaster trashed Trump in private dinner. MSM breaks story. InfoWars broke months ago. There's Dan Lyman's article from November 21st. You can scroll down into the article and actually click the original. InfoWars broke the story. Report, McMaster labeled Trump scary and a dope. And it's our story from September 11th. September, October, late November, it breaks. 2.5 months later, word for word. Now, the reason I point that out is that's why they fear us. That's why they hate us. I mean, that's why they've told me, you stop it or we're going to destroy you. And they've already, you know, had some fun with it, as everybody's witnessed. And I'm not complaining. I just want people to know I'm like at the Alamo here. I mean, this is a big shootout. We're leading the charge, and we just need your prayers, because I'm not going to get into all the things that are going behind the scenes and things, but it is biblical. Biblical.
So Trump has been attempting to end that proxy war in Syria, but the deep state is trying to drum it back up. I'm not going to get too into this, folks, but let's just say that remember what happened to our naval vessels not too long ago? Just not working and being hacked and crashing? Well, let's just say a different country might have something to do with that. And they're not happy with our proxy wars.
This is the War Room.
Okay, I am about to be joined by Bev Harris, and this is a segment that in today's 24-hour news cycle that has become so condensed, the election last week seems like ancient history, but I'm not letting it go because 500,000 Republicans magically did not show up to vote. No one else is asking why. No one else is even reporting on it. And Bev Harris is the expert on fractional magic. Her website, blackboxvoting.org. You're probably familiar with Bev Harris's work. If not, though, that is where you can find it. Bev, thank you for joining us so much today.
Yeah, good to be here, as always.
So I'm not sure how much you paid attention to the special election in Alabama. Obviously, you're an expert on the black box voting, the techniques they use to have electronic voting rigged and whatnot. But just from a basic reaction, what did you think when you saw the results from the election last Tuesday night, putting Doug Jones in the Senate?
To be honest, I wasn't surprised. It was an election that could plausibly have gone either direction. But there was something that was really, really a red flag that happened the day before, shortly before the election. And I don't know if you guys have covered this. What happened was all of the voting machines in Alabama can now automatically take a photograph of the paper ballot when they scan it. And they actually don't count what's on the ballot. They count what's on their photograph of the ballot, which is a slight distinction. And that photograph, of course, is a public record. It should be. It's just a record. It's just a computer file. Well, John Brakey from Arizona and a bunch of other citizens went ahead of the election, and they filed in court to get an order from the court that they would have to preserve those ballot images, those photographs of all the ballots, because that would make it very fast to be able to confirm the results. People could just ask for that computer file and see all the ballots. And they won. The judge said, no, you can't. Well, they had been informed by the Alabama election officials that they were going to destroy them. Now, remember, destroying a computer file takes more work than not destroying it. You have to actually destroy it, right? So they wanted to take the extra effort to destroy the record of the vote. The judge ordered that they had to retain those, but the Alabama Supreme Court, after the end of the day, without notifying the plaintiffs or the attorneys or hearing arguments, reversed the ruling and said that they can destroy all the evidence. Now, that is singly most suspicious thing I've seen, because that would you don't destroy evidence if there's nothing if you're not worried about what people what that evidence contains. So evidence of what was on the ballot is a concern.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you broke that down again for us. Now we did report on that, but again, you're the expert, so I'm glad that you confirmed all of that for me. I'm not familiar with the Alabama Constitution. I'm not as an expert on the Alabama voting law as I am here in Texas. But in Texas, what they did would have been considered illegal. Now, they do it here in Texas, too, and they're never held accountable. But is that not illegal to erase these records?
It is illegal. In fact, and it's illegal in every state, regardless of the state law, because this was a federal election. And federal election law says you have to preserve the evidence for 22 months. So it is extremely concerning in so many levels. Number one, why they would want to destroy it in the first place, there's no reason to. And secondly, why, when a judge clearly said, no, you can't destroy it, this is evidence, it's a federal law, it doesn't cost you anything to keep it, you don't have to do anything special, just keep it, and then without even notifying the attorneys or hearing arguments, it was overturned after hours by the Supreme Court. That is actually unprecedented. I've never heard of that ever.
Yeah, that's, and when you look,
that's what they were, to hide the evidence.
When you look at the series of events, I don't know how people can't be raising red flags. You had, as you just broke down, they deleted the digital record, which the key to that is that's the one they count. As you already identified, they don't actually count the paper ballot. They never count the paper ballot. The paper ballot gets scanned and then essentially taken an image of digitally, and then they count that digital record, which they then delete. But look at all the room for error you have here. You've got, okay, I'm going to go in and digitally cast my vote, and then that vote is going to be put on a piece of paper, not physically by me, but by the machine. Then I put that piece of paper produced digitally into another machine that then supposedly digitally takes a photocopy and then counts it digitally. What type of voting procedure is this, if not so they can rig it?
Well, yeah, and let me elaborate a little bit more on that. You alluded to the report that we did called Fraction Magic. What that is a mechanism that's in the machines that allows a person with inside access to assign the percentage of votes that people will get. So, for example, no matter what the votes actually are, we're going to assign, and it's very precise. It's per precinct and so forth, so it can really mimic the demographics. But in other words, we're going to assign in such and such a precinct in Birmingham that the vote will be this percent for Doug and this percent for Roy Moore, and that can be pre-assigned now. Of course, to do that, it has to be able to sort of break your vote into pieces because it's never going to come out, evenly otherwise. So that's why we call it Fraction Magic. It's a program that's in the machine that allows them to, instead of counting your vote, for example, as one, it can count it. This is illicit, but it allows it to count it as like 0.75 and someone else's as 1.25 or whatever. Now, I was very curious. I know this to be true because I have the programs and I have actually executed the Fraction Magic myself to see that it does work.
Your videos are on blackboxvoting.org. She's not just saying this. You can find her videos.
Yeah, if you go to YouTube and just put in Fraction Magic, you'll see it. Now, but I was very curious, what happens to these pictures, these ballot images, because how would they display it if it was 1.5 votes or 0.75 votes or something. So I ran Fraction Magic, and then I went to look at the images. Well, you know what it does? It erases the images. So
the only proof that you could even use to go back would be the paper printout of the digital
right.
ballot.
And then if you go back, if you circle back and go, they said we have to delete the images, which is a lot of extra work. But if they happen to know, which I know, that when you execute the Fraction Magic vote rigging, it erases the ballot images. That may be what's really under all this, is that they know that the program they plan to use was erasing the ballot images. Because when you think about it, it doesn't know how to assign a percentage of a vote on a ballot image. So what it does is it just erases them.
Well, let me tell you what I think happened. And this is, I'm coming out and saying this is my conspiracy theory. So before anyone says that I'm saying this as fact, this is my conspiracy theory. And I want to hear your thoughts on this, Bev.
Right.
I crunched the numbers from about 20 years worth of elections in Alabama, the senatorial elections and the presidential elections. So you're looking at, it was about 20 different elections that I was measuring and analyzing. And what I came to find out based on crunching the numbers, I did it for everyone last Wednesday here on the War Room. You can go back and look at those segments. What I think happened, and the numbers pan this out, well, undeniably, the numbers will show that 500,000 Republicans didn't show up to vote for the senatorial election. That's not a conspiracy. That's just cold, hard facts. You can look at the numbers. But would it be possible for a vote for Roy Moore to only count for half a vote, while a vote for Doug Jones counted for a full vote? That's my question for Bev Harris, the expert of fractional magic. When we come back on the other side of the War Room, this is Owen Schroyer. Don't go anywhere. Where we left off with Bev Harris breaking down fractional magic, how they can predetermine voting results. And that's what I think happened in the Alabama special election last week. Again, this is my conspiracy theory. And I can't believe honestly, folks, because this isn't, these are just cold hard facts. 500,000 Republicans all of a sudden did not show up to vote. You can go look at the numbers, crunch the numbers, do the analysis for yourself. 500,000 Republicans magically did not show up to vote last week in the senatorial special election. Now, is that because of voter intimidation by the Democrats lying about Roy Moore and lying about public records and your vote being public record? Or is that because perhaps maybe there was some fractional magic that went down? And I think that's exactly what happened because, again, if you look at the numbers, it turns out perfectly that a vote, if this is what happened, a vote for Roy Moore equaled half a vote and a vote for Doug Jones equaled a full vote. You play that out, then all of a sudden the numbers actually add up when compared to the previous Alabama elections. Bev Harris is my guest. She's the expert on all of this. Bev, I don't know if you've gone that deep in the analysis of the Alabama election last week. I don't know if you've done the deep research or if that's even your thought pattern as to what happened, but that's what I believe. Am I crazy for thinking that?
Well, no, but let me put it this way. There's a couple of ways to arrive at the numbers that you did. One would be by looking at the check-in list of voters and comparing it to their voter history. Another would be looking at the number of votes and simply saying we would ordinarily have this many Republican votes and we're 500,000 shy where we need to be. If the fractional voting was used, what will happen is, what it does is, remember, when you do the fractional vote, if your vote is a half, someone else's, the Democrats' vote would be 1.5, because it has to add up to the number of people who sign into that book.
Oh, I see. So they still have to fill out the correct mathematics for a full whole number.
Yes, but, and so that's why fraction magic is so bad, because basically it will match up to the number that checked in. But it's just that the individual vote is counted as a fraction. So you would be able to know, if fraction magic is used, if that explains the 500,000 discrepancy, but if you saw that there was correspondingly 500,000 more Democratic votes. Okay, so there would have to be less Republican and the same amount more in the Democrat.
Just to be clear, so our audience knows, that was not the case. The case was that the Democrat vote pretty much showed up the exact same it had turned out for about the last 5, 6, 8 elections. So the Democrat number was right where it was expected to be, where the Republican number just literally was halved.
Now, it can be, because this was the situation was so controversial in Alabama, it's not really possible to know as a fact. How many people just decided, I'm not going to turn out because I'm inspired. I know that was the case with Hillary Clinton's election back, in 2016. I mean, it was really hard for people to decide they wanted to cast a vote for her. And a lot of people just said, yeah, bag it. I'm not going to do it. So you don't know. It's hard to actually get any facts as to whether that was due to shenanigans or that was due to being uninspired, but it probably was not due to fraction magic. Now, there is something else that was an anomaly that you might be able to really help with all of your listeners. There was a whole bunch of write-in votes that showed up at the last minute, and guess what? Coincidentally, it was just the right number of write-in votes to tip the election away from Roy Moore. The number was statistically anomalous. It was really weird, and it all seemed to go for one candidate. And one of the things that would be so helpful in terms of setting a precedent for the whole country would be if folks could encourage Roy Moore to ask to see the ballot images of the write-in votes. There's only about 3,000 or something. It wasn't a huge number, but it was enough to tip the race. And that would force them to either admit that they had broken the law by destroying a federal record, or show, if you have a whole bunch of write-in votes show up, and I've seen this happen, by the way, and you look at them, it is not uncommon to find they are all in the same handwriting or even typed in.
Well, I will tell you this. I did not find it as anomalous, the number of write-ins. There was an increased number, but I could figure that might make sense given the nature of this election. Some of the anomalies that we did notice, and this is a story that I never really ran with because it's impossible for me to actually prove it's a story, but other people were taking screenshots and they have the timestamps where the number of write-ins was at 16,000 and then an hour later at 14,000. Right, now, I don't know if that was just some weird internet error or something, but people did discover that. But
well, here's the thing. Because we can't really, you know, get a redo or undo that election, what we can do with that is take something that like go ask for the write-ins, which is just a small number, and say, I want to see the, get the candidate to say, I need to see the ballot images for the write-ins, because that's not very much to ask, right?
Well, Bev, I'll tell you, there was actually 22,000 write-ins in this election.
But I think there was a set of them. It seems to me it was in the range of 2,000. They came all of a sudden. They just came in all at once.
You're saying it was a strange rush at the same time.
Yeah, right. So there were some other anomalies with it. But if you get the candidate going in and asking for a subset of the ballots, so it's not a huge amount of work, and just say, I want this subset and I want to look at the ballot images, that is going to force their hand. And that is so important nationwide for the 2018 election. Think about this.
No, I agree.
It will force the whole state of Alabama to either comply or break the law. And then you've got precedent. So it's kind of hard to do sometimes if you don't have standing to do it. Or even if you just said, I want to get the write-ins for one suspicious county. You know?
Well, as far as I can tell, Roy Moore has still not conceded. Another anomaly you may or may not be aware of, in Talladega County, that goes red almost every time, went blue in this last election. For the first time ever, they didn't do paper ballots. Oh, how convenient is that, too?
Oh, that's interesting. Oh, well, Alabama has got very dodgy elections going way back. The book I'm working on right now is a little bit of a deviation from elections, but it is related. I'm working on a book that documents the incidents of corruption and public corruption and corrupt elections through indictment. Okay, so it's and convictions. So it's not again, it's facts, right? People are going to be stunned, but I was stunned when I saw Alabama. Alabama.
Well, you know what? There's already a great website out there. I cannot think of the name of it right now, but it's documented all. People think that election meddling and rigging elections doesn't happen. These people have been caught with dead voters, illegal votes, voter fraud for such a long time. Bev Harris is the expert, blackboxvoting.org. Check out her website. Thank you so much, Bev.
Thanks.
It's time to take a stand. This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
You know, this is really incredible. You've got the Trump-Russian probe led by Mueller and Rosenstein not coming apart at the seams, but totally exploded. And all of the blowback is on the Democrats, the Obama administration, GPS, Fusion GPS with the Orrs, Bruce Orr and Nellie Orr. How about Peter Stroke? So everything that was supposed to indict and make Trump look bad has now made the Democrats look absolutely terrible. Now you've got the story that even the liberal media has been forced to cover. Barack Obama knowingly protecting terrorists that were guilty of drug trafficking and human trafficking. So there's Obama working with the extremists in the Middle East. Oh, it's not like InfoWars told you that he was doing that. Now, I had a stack of news I was going to get to, but Rob Dew comes in and tells me now that there's a development in this Washington train derailment situation. So we already had the story of this Antifa liberal domestic leftist terrorist blog post talking about intentionally sabotaging a train track in Washington in that area to stop fracking equipment from being mobilized. But now we've got a new rift to this story that Rob Dew is about to bring. Apparently, they were already setting up to do drills for a situation like this in Washington. Rob Dew has the report as well as video. Rob, what do you got?
Yeah, one of the hallmarks we know is of a false flag is that these groups are running drills beforehand as cover. So when the event happens, oh, there's already personnel on the ground. Oh, we didn't know. We thought it was a drill. 9/11, we saw it. The Boston bombing, we saw it. There's always something going on. Well, a listener sent in a video, local ABC News. This is Suzanne Fawn reporting. And it's about 2 minutes kind of setting up the story of what's going on. And then she points over to the mayor and says, well, the mayor and all these volunteers were here today because they were set up already for a mass casualty drill. So they were already set up. Then the event happens and then they go live. So it's just another suspicious thing that I think works well with what's going on with Antifa claiming they're going to sabotage train tracks, because we've seen Antifa also, it seems like they work with local governments in California where they don't get arrested. They're allowed to do what they want and the police stand down. So this is just another development in this. And I think we ought to go to this video now and just let the people judge for themselves.
Some of those cars down the highway below, once again, that number is expected to rise, but that is the latest from the Associated Press.
Okay, we now want to get out to Suzanne Fawn, who is at DuPont City Hall for us this morning. Suzanne? So many friends and family wondering about their loved ones. Well, we are here at DuPont City Hall, and I can tell you that on those buses there are a lot of the survivors from the train derailment that are getting ready to head home. One of those people that I talked to was Anthony Remiti. He is from Gig Harbor. He bought a round-trip inaugural ticket. He was excited about the inaugural journey on that train. He's a train buff. He was sitting in business class number one when he said that all of a sudden things went black, the train veered to the right and left, and then he heard glass breaking. He says that a passenger had to use his elbow to break out a window, and they helped each other climb out of the window of the train. So many stories of courage and bravery today. Another man I talked to, Scott Kladjic from Seattle, says that he has a sore back and is very sore in general, but he is just glad that he could help all the other passengers around him get out safely. He said, again, he never knew what was happening. Things were went black and just violently veered back and forth. Everything was then just quiet after all the glass breaking. I want to tell you that I talked to the mayor here. This is the mayor of DuPont. He tells us that not only are there lots of volunteers here trying to make the train... Also, the chaplain is here asking and offering all sorts of help for everybody who needs it. The mayor tells me, ironically, today they were doing training for a mass casualty incident, and that he was here along with many other agencies planning their day when this situation and this news developed. So they were here, they were prepared for mass incidents like this, and as you can imagine,
Okay, I'm going to need to do a little more research on this, but the first questions I have, and we've got 5 minutes left in this segment, so the crew can help me. Who was the mayor again? I need the information on that mayor. Let's find out what the deal with that mayor is. Let's look at his social media. Let's look at, obviously, you know, who and what he is. Let's find out who declared a state of emergency today after the train derailment. Mike Kortz. I don't want to make any assumptions about this guy until I know for sure. Can you guys find out if he has any political affiliations? And also, let's pull up his social media. Okay, because here's what I'm thinking. I'll just go ahead and tell you what I'm thinking, and then we can kind of vet this out in the future. What are the odds that they have that training drill going on at the same time of the train derailment? Now, I know your gut instinct, if you can't believe most of the stuff you see, your gut instinct is there's no way that they would plan this. There's no way that they would coordinate this because they're not that dumb. Don't underestimate the average liberal. Do not underestimate the average Democrat, because let me tell you something. They are that dumb. They are really that dumb. It would not surprise me for one second if they thought they could stage some sort of event and get away with it for whatever reason. I don't know what the political agenda would be for something like this. It doesn't seem to have any yet. But maybe there was. Maybe it was carrying some fracking equipment, like the Antifa-related blog said they wanted to drill the train carrying fracking equipment. So I don't really understand the whole thing, but it's very fishy. It doesn't add up, and it really does kind of make you wonder. So it was the governor of the state of Washington, Jay Inslee, who declared the state of emergency. Well, this is just very strange. So you've got the Antifa blog saying they want to, the liberal terrorist, domestic liberal terrorist, radical leftist blog, saying they want to sabotage a Washington train track to stop fracking equipment from being mobilized. Then you have the derailment today in a very, very close area in proximity to where this happened or was said to have happened, reported on in this blog. But then you have, at the same time of the train derailment, which right now we have at least six reported dead, you had a mass casualty drill going on at the exact same time. Rob Dew?
Yep. Yeah, let me. I was in Chicago a few years ago watching them. They did 5 days of drills like this where they had one. They had a plane blow up and there was bodies everywhere. There was another one. They were going door to door. They had an incident where they used the field, the sports stadium that they were at, as a place to house people. All kind of drills going on. A subway attack. So they had guys go down in and take out some bad guys. Another, it was a chemical attack where they came in. The Boy Scouts
and
were
let's
victims.
Not forget Jade Helm too. They want to act like that didn't exist. Jade right. Helm was a real thing.
But all these, well, here's the thing. All these mass casualty events, they take a lot of prep time. It takes a lot of manpower to get in there and get these things ready. They don't just, oh, we're going to have a mass casualty drill tomorrow. This takes a lot of planning. So if we are able to determine that these tracks were deliberately sabotaged in that area at the same time, there is definitely some connection that we have to look at further.
No doubt an investigation is warranted, and no doubt that these radical liberals would do something like this. I'm not saying we know that for sure, but certainly it has an earmark of a radical leftist terrorist event. All right, I'm about, we got one more segment left. I'm going to be joined by some special guests in the next segment. Then Leanne McAdoo and Jake Lloyd roll on, and then I'll be back tonight with Rob Dew at 10 o'clock with more news to cover. Don't go anywhere. This is The War Room. Welcome back to The War Room. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer, and this is the final segment of today's War Room on the Christmas Spectacular Extravaganza. Of course, the live broadcast goes on. The Christmas Spectacular Extravaganza will go on after the conclusion of this, and then I will be back in the War Room tomorrow to conclude the Christmas Spectacular Extravaganza. Of course, all the deals online at InfoWarsStore.com. I'm now being visited in studio, however, by our in-studio elves today, Mimi and Shorty, back in with me today. And, you know, you guys came down here. You came down here to spread Christmas cheer. You were doing a good job. You were checking off who's naughty and nice. Everything was going smoothly. But things really got off the rails fast, guys. I got to say, it got out of hand around here.
Yes. Well, what do you expect? You got two little elves here.
I mean, I was on air for most of the time, but I kept hearing crazy noises and shouting and screaming, everybody having a good time, the Yuletide log getting passed around, eggnog going down. I mean, well, I think everybody, you guys,
I love the eggnog.
You guys made everyone naughty today.
Well, I spiked your eggnog too.
That's what that was? You spiked my eggnog?
Yes.
Yes.
You're a naughty elf. You know that, Shorty?
I know I'm a naughty elf. But see, I'm Santa's head elf too.
Yeah, you're Santa's head elf, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? Santa texted me. And he said that he's got to come down here because you guys were naughty. Y'all didn't spread Christmas cheer, and there's too much hollering. There's too much, not enough cheer for him. And
so what's Santa
going to
do?
Santa's not really coming down here?
You guys were naughty, and he said
Santa told you that. Santa told you that.
So why did he call me?
He texted me and told me, I'm coming down because there's not enough cheer.
Santa just called me. He is coming down. And we've
Santa
been
just told
trouble.
You too.
Well, see, I got a little secret phone. I talked.
Really,
to
you got a secret phone, huh?
Yeah, because I'm his head elf right now.
Okay, you guys got a lot of secrets. Hold on, now. Wait a second. Yes, Putin is now confirming. Yes, Putin is now confirming. Santa Claus is coming down here tonight from the North Pole.
He's bringing Rudolph, Dasher, and
Prancer.
Oh,
boy.
As long as you don't bring on Mrs. Elf, I'm okay.
She better just stay away so she don't get run over. You know what I mean?
Wait a second.
That would not be a good idea.
This can't be good news for you guys. If Santa's coming down here.
It might be good news and it might be bad news.
Well, he's coming down here. We probably get spankings from that. But that's okay.
Because Santa sent you guys here.
More.
And but see, Santa knows how bad of an elf I am. He's grounded me many times.
And that's
but he also likes it, too, because it makes me his head elf.
Bad.
I actually am getting, hold on, I'm getting word now from Santa's official PR team. Okay. Yeah, they're expecting Santa to get in studio tonight sometime around 8 or 9.
All right.
And then apparently he's got some gifts for you guys.
All right.
That's what I'm hearing.
Well, we're doing our best.
We're doing what we can do.
That's our job.
Are you good?
Because look, you're smiling even without.
I was having a good time. I mean, I thought you guys would be a little more well behaved, to be honest. But you know.
I mean, usually I'm more naughtier than this. But I got to get a little moonshine in me or some eggnog.
I wasn't expecting Shorty to be spiking my eggnog at
noon. I already spiked it.
And he's always being the naughty one. Just like when they got Frosty, the ice guy. No, he's always spiking Santa's hot.
Well, see, Frosty melted, so I made him. I used him for some bourbon and Coke.
You turned Frosty into a drink?
Yes, he did.
My gosh, that is sick.
Actually, not the bourbon and Coke. I turned him into a margarita.
What, did you put the carrot in there and everything?
Yeah. I used a carrot. I smoked a carrot.
Oh, my God. You really are a naughty.
Everybody up at the North Pole, and he's always getting in trouble.
Hey, don't drink those margaritas I brought. The frozen margaritas I brought, that's him.
I see what's happening here. You guys thought you got off easy. You got off of work. It's probably really busy up around the North Pole right now. And so you thought you'd come down here, have a good time, and now Santa's a little unhappy. You guys blew it off.
You know why he sent us down here?
Because we didn't bring everybody else and let him know we got to come down here and make everybody happy.
What do you think Santa's going to do when he gets down here?
Well, I hope he don't. I don't know. I hope he don't ground me on Christmas Eve, because when he's going out delivering all the presents, I got to watch over Mrs. Claus.
What, have you been grounded by Santa before?
Yes,
many times.
So you guys are
many
used to this,
times.
Huh?
This one's been grounded.
But if I've been grounded in a bad elf, why did he make me the head elf? You got to ask him.
I'm starting to doubt that entire story.
So
to be honest,
I don't know. Santa
This is the truth. I told Santa, you make me the head elf, I'm gonna beat you up. I'm gonna chop your legs off.
I'm not buying this. Shorty.
Oh my gosh.
I have a feeling that Santa's gonna come down here and be a very unhappy Santa with you.
He is. Okay, yes, the truth is he's gonna fire
and
me.
Being naughty. And
you can be fired
on that list.
Yeah.
Have you've been grounded too before?
No, I haven't. Santa's very proud of me. I always give him his favorite hot cocoa with his peppermint in it. Which I have peppermint for everybody to make their hot cocoa. You didn't get none, by the way, either.
You know there's two North Poles, right? You know there's two Santa Clauses, right? There's a North Pole and a South Pole.
No.
See,
that's fake news, Shorty.
Because, see, I got fired from the North Pole, and I went down. And then I'm down here working at the South Pole. So if I get fired here, I'm going to have to go work the Middle Pole now. There's three poles.
I can't be having this fake news on the War Room. Santa only is in the North Pole.
No.
Shorty, how are you doing this to me right now?
Trust me, there's three different. How do you think
we're gonna have to find out? Santa's gonna be down here. You're gonna
Santa's
have to say this.
Coming and watch. He's coming because he told me there's naughtiness going on. He comes.
I asked him about the other two North Poles.
That's not me.
No, I don't believe that there's more than one pole that
there
Santa
is.
Hangs out at.
Okay, I was supposed to tell. Now he's gonna kill me.
So now Santa's going to be down here around 8 o'clock during the Christmas Spectacular Extravaganza. I think that Mimi will probably be okay. She might even get a promotion. You, though.
I'm fired.
You are going to be in there.
It's going to be like Donald Trump. You can say you're fired.
Probably.
So
Santa's the
you're going to see me probably. If you see the elf on the corner with an elf out of work sign, help him out.
What was? Does Santa give you guys gifts, too?
Oh, yes, he does. As long as we be good and do what he says, do our job. And being naughty and getting grounded and getting on that list.
Well, she helps me get there, too, so you're going to get in
trouble. No, I'm not on naughty list.
How do you know?
I know because I texted
her. Oh, wait. Okay, Santa. He said you're on the naughty list, too.
I think you're getting the wrong transmission, Shorty. I think you're getting the South Pole transmission.
Oh, wait, here's the South Pole one. This is the North Pole one. I don't know. Too many transmissions.
You probably would spike Santa's drink, too, wouldn't you?
Yes, he has done it.
Tattletale.
Yes, I'm
got a tattletale right here.
I'm not.
She's trying to run a tight ship over here. You're over here getting everyone drunk on eggnog.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look at that hot cocoa. Santa thought, is that the marshmallows? He's telling it's the marshmallows.
Hey,
no, it's not. He took the hot cocoa and spiked it.
Y'all should never eat the candy either. Those little peppermints. I spiked those too.
What are you going to do though when Santa gets here? When you actually have to confront Santa? He's going to be here.
Big hug.
I'm gonna sign my papers here. I'm gonna say, Santa, you don't have to tell me. I'm fired. Bye.
He's going to be here in about 5-6 hours, guys.
All right.
I'm excited. I can't wait. All I just want him to do is don't run over Grandma. She's out there waiting on me and stuff like that.
Oh.
Well,
you know, it always happens.
Well,
Grandma gets hit by the crazy reindeer, and it's usually Dasher.
But it's usually
Dasher.
Now I think I get it, though. So Santa, somebody spikes his eggnog.
And then
I won't blame anyone.
Grandma gets run over.
Exactly.
You don't
like,
see
guess what?
See?
You told him. He's so down. I'm going to spike Santa's egg.
But you're not up there to spike it.
Hey, I don't need to be up there. I got another elf up there to do it for me. And you don't know about him. And he's going to come run over your grandma now.
Shorty,
tattletale.
You're going to be getting coal for Christmas. Spiking everyone's eggnog.
So
Grandma got run over because you made Santa drunk when he was taking the sleigh out.
Yeah. It's going to be Grandma's going to run over.
Next thing you know, you're going to be trying to steal people's presents like the Grinch.
Yes, he's going to be the Grinch.
I already did. Did you have presents right now?
Wait a second. Where are the presents that were under this tree?
He drunk them.
Hey.
He came in here and drunk them. I told you.
Hey, I had some presents under there.
He took them.
Now, darn it.
He's naughty.
This is unacceptable.
He took them. That's the Grinch.
I'm sorry. I took them.
So.
It's like that movie called Bad Santa, Little Santa.
Santa, if you're watching this, I know that you're on your way down here right now. I don't know what kind of reception you get on that.
See,
on that.
It's a rapid
that
right
sleigh.
Here.
But Shorty has absconded.
Right there.
Shorty has.
See, I told you. All the presents. See, Santa's coming and he's in trouble.
Shorty the bad elf has absconded with all of the war room presents. You know, those were for orphans.
And you took them from the orphans.
Do you even feel bad?
No.
You're lucky Santa's coming. He's going to make sure that this is rectified.
Because I sold them to the government.
Santa has to save your tail every Christmas, doesn't he?
Yes.
He's saving his tail. He grounds him and he puts him in there, and he has to ride Dasher and Prancer and Rudolph every day.
But you don't know what Santa's got in the room, though.
See,
me and Santa come up with a deal. He puts me in a room for a reason. He said, "Go sleep it all." Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think you're going to get a promotion this year, Mimi.
She is.
Yeah. Especially if you help find those lost.
If Santa's calls, don't run her over.
All right. Well, Santa's going to be here in about 5 hours, guys. So you guys might want to you might want to really tidy up. Mimi, you seem like you're running everything clean over there. But Shorty over here is in some trouble.
I forgot to say, Santa's going to bring me some medicine because I can take medicine.
Well, we got
Santa's
some. You might need, in fact, you might need some Brain Force Plus. That's what you might need. We got it on sale right now at InfoWarsStore.com. 50% off. Check out all of the specials for the Christmas Spectacular Extravaganza. We are live for 48 hours all the way through till 6 o'clock tomorrow. So we will be running all the way through till 6 o'clock tomorrow. But don't forget Santa. Santa will be in studio tonight celebrating the Christmas Spectacular Extravaganza. We are expecting Santa in studio tonight about 8 p.m. Central.
Climb to the top of the food chain with Alpha Power by InfoWars Life. For those who want to increase testosterone and energy levels, most men know that testosterone levels begin to decline starting around 30 at a rate of about 1 to 2% per year. This drop can show signs such as fatigue, low energy, low sex drive, and muscle loss. Alpha Power is packed with some of the most potent and clinically tested ingredients on the market. The secret is in the synergistic blend of ancient ingredients that have been concentrated into their most potent forms, including Uricoma longifolia, originally from Malaysia, Maca root from Peru, horny goatweed from China, and Tribulus from India. Reach your alpha male potential with Alpha Power. Get Alpha Power now at 50% off and secure your bottle today.